I don't know. Because we've already started.
Oh, hey everybody. This is I'm Gonna Ask Dad.
Second episode today, and our topic is artificial intelligence.
Ooh, I hope you have some good questions for me. This is a good one.
What jobs do you think artificial intelligence are going to affect?
Short term or long term?
Long term.
Every job.
Short term?
I think you'll see drivers. I think you'll see probably fast food workers. But like, I mean like truck drivers. I think artificial intelligence would wind up in that field. I also, like anything that's like moving goods, I think you'll see those go first. I think the last ones you'll see would be things like, physical labor. Like where you gotta shovel things or like move earth or, you know, welding. Well, welding probably go pretty quick.
Because have you seen the humanoid robots that people have been making?
Mm-hmm. They're getting crazy.
Yeah, Tesla bots.
Well, and I think that's where you're gonna, those are gonna be the ones that you see. Like once those have really peaked, you'll see the laborious jobs like digging with a shovel or any of that kind of work. I think that's when you see that go out the window. But I long term, I think there's not going to be a lot of jobs left that humans themselves do.
So do you expect homelessness to start increase or decrease?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would like to believe that it would. I have a lot of thoughts on what that does, right? And the first one is that we've got to realize it's coming. And I see there's a famous quote by a guy named David Goggins. And it's, the purpose is you. Right? If you get up in the morning, what's driving you to do something? If you don't have to go do anything. How productive was I when I didn't have a job for 2 months?
I mean, let me think. Did a lot of painting, or did you?
I didn't paint at all.
Yeah, you weren't very productive because you didn't have anything you had to go do to keep our family.
I didn't have a drive. I didn't. I mean, I read some books in that time. One of them was Viktor Frankl's "A Meaning" or "Man's Search for Meaning." And it really kind of helped me come out of where I was of like, I need to do things. So if we have no jobs to go do and we don't prepare mentally prior to that by establishing purpose and meaning in our life, I think it's going to be a very difficult place to be. So like, that's something that I've made a priority for me. And you know, even in the way I interact with you and your sister of like, find your thing. What is the thing that drives you every day? What makes you you? Because that's the thing that's going to be important.
Yeah, so
you know the secret?
What?
Pretend like it's not even there.
Jeez, I'm trying. God.
It's not easy, is it?
I'm getting better at it.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. The longer we do it, the easier to get, just like anything else in life, man.
Yeah.
What else?
What about extreme? Well, how will this affect the film industry and design industry? Artificial intelligence in general.
I think you're already seeing, and this is why I suggest to your sister and you to find your thing, right? Because those industries, you're already seeing what AI is going to be able to do. Like the path of what it has been able to create will continue on an exponential, just like all technology, it's an exponential growth formula, right?
Because AI will help AI grow.
Yeah. So it's going to get better at generating pictures. It's going to be better at making artistry based within. And I think this is the piece where we add to it, add to the stream. By being yourself. AI is the congregate of all human knowledge and experience, right? If you asked AI to paint you something similar to, what is that one called? The
Starry Night?
Starry Night. If you say, paint me something like Starry Night, it's going to paint you something that looks a lot like Starry Night. It'll probably make it something slightly different. But at what point does it create something unique to itself in which it can create? Not based on human creation. So if you find your purpose, and your purpose happens to be painting, you suddenly then become something that adds to the conglomerate of what AI pulls from. And I think that's going to be where you see like NFTs in cryptocurrency realms of like creating your niche and gaining value with what you add to the whole. There's going to be a big shift. Okay, you ask your next question, then I have a tangent I want to get into.
You've seen how... Do you think AI will ever reach consciousness?
Yes. But I don't... I don't think it'll be what we might expect it to be. I think it'll be something completely different. I think that almost leads into my tangent a little bit. You're a little young. How much have you seen change in your lifetime, technologically? You want another secret? Don't block your face from the camera.
Just doing that, Dad.
Good point. Call me out for that thing, man. Good point.
Yeah. Well, personally, we've seen the rise of virtual reality and augmented reality.
Okay, I would give you that one.
3D printing has gotten exponentially better.
But neither of those have really altered the fundamental human existence yet. Like, I would say 3D printing probably get there with the ability to print homes the way they're trying to work on. Like, that would alter human existence in a way where we could have housing for everybody, right? Like, cheap, quick housing for everybody. That would alter things. But at some point, that's just going to plateau where we've got enough homes for everybody, so it doesn't really change the course of human history after that point. But in your lifetime, we've been pretty stagnant in terms of something that fundamentally changed everything. When I was young, about your age, household internet became so... Suddenly, instead of having to go look at the encyclopedia, I could log onto the computer and I could find anything I wanted. I had a whole connection. And what we didn't know would come of that... Right. It's great that we have all of the potential of humankind, right? But it also came with all of the darkness of humankind. All of the glory and depravity of being a human was suddenly visible. You and I had a short conversation earlier about internet pornography, right? And what I told you, what did I tell you about it? The things I saw. Do you remember? Like, there are things I didn't tell you any specifics, just so we're clear. I didn't tell them specifics. There were things I saw that I would never want to partake in. But the things people have found for themselves that they would do, that they would film themselves and put out there, like, that was accessible. So the expanse of knowledge was on the positive side, but it was also on... I don't want to call it positive and negative, right? People's experiences are their experiences. But suddenly your window into the human consciousness expanded in a massive way, right? Suddenly you were able to know. And that's why you see groups come out. It's, I would say for your generation, in my personal experience, it wasn't easy to be a D&D player because we were nerds. But for, I get to watch you growing up, I see the kids that are interested in games like that. Because it's so much easier to just go online and find groups of people that are interested in games like that. So you get comfortable saying, this is what I like. Go ahead.
And you can also have sessions online. That's a thing.
Yeah. So you, it's easier to discover what you specifically like and find people that are like-minded and enjoy those things. So it's, you know, there's this connectivity that exists in that. Where it is now, are there nerds and jocks in your school? Do you see it that way? Are there cliques?
I see it as everyone has their a life that is complicated as my own, and I should not put a label on them, since it's all those are very broad spectrums, kind of like you see with. It's more like applying values to each of the labels. So you're not gonna fall. You're not always gonna fall under a singular label. You could be under multiple.
Well said. And I think that was the when I was growing up. That was the fear. You didn't want to be labeled a nerd because nerds weren't cool. Right? Value to the label. It wasn't, once you got stuck with a negative label, you weren't able to get out of it. That's what you were. You know, there was the stoner kids that were, you know, slackers. There were the nerds that spent all day playing Pokemon. Like when I was younger, that's what it was, right? There were the jocks where that's what they did is basketball, football, whatever sport. Like that's what they went hard and they were the guys that partied and they were the popular guys. So it was really like segregated almost into the cliques. So there's that piece, right? Back to the original piece, like Donald Trump and the weave.
It's
something he says all the time when he gets way off track and comes back to what he was saying. So the second I went through the internet explosion, right? The wild access of information of the human mind. And then I went through the cell phone explosion. Cell phones were not, they, 99. Yeah, okay, car phones existed. I don't think cell phones existed. Maybe cell phones existed, but it wasn't, a smartphone.
Wait, but isn't calling and driving dangerous? Or was it, baked into your dashboard?
It was like a briefcase you put in the car. it was a corded phone, dude. It had a cord. Yeah. Yeah. It was like the first cell phone, but it was a corded phone, and then it was attached to the battery in the car. Like, they were wild.
Briefcase.
But then, you know, the iPhone is where it changed. The touchscreen smartphone is, like, that was the explosion. I grew up in a time where that wasn't a thing. Nobody had a smartphone. A supercomputer in their pocket. And now you've only ever known everyone to have a supercomputer in their pocket.
It's not a supercomputer. Have you seen the government supercomputers? Those things have 36 GPUs.
But remember, when I was growing up, a supercomputer wasn't that powerful.
I know.
And then suddenly a cell phone came out with the same computing power that I remember a supercomputer having. My first cell phone, my first smartphone was 4 times more powerful than the gaming PC I had when I was younger. It was all right here. So then you had this shift in connectivity with the rise of social media and everything else where everything changed. Again, you groups on Facebook. Well, now if I like D&D, all I've got to do is join this local D&D group and I can find all the D&D players. So you get extra connectivity, but at the same time, you almost fall into these are my people. Like this is my group. This is my group. This is my group. So you have this almost reemergence of cliques in that way.
Yeah, but also when you're But also when you're in a large group of, in a large group, it can, you can know a lot of people in that group, which can make you feel more unified which can make you feel more unified with the rest of the world.
And if you have multiple groups, you get to learn how many people have multiple shared interests as well.
Yeah.
Right? So my whole point in it all is I went through two technological revolutions in my life before I was... What? iPhones came out in 04? I don't know. Somebody... maybe 06? Something like that? So I would have been 20 at that point when I went through two of those. At your age, you haven't really gone through a technological revolution. You're on the brinks of them, right? The world hasn't wildly changed because of AI yet. But you can see that it's going to happen. And I think what we have now is the older generations have experience in it. So we see it coming. Like we went through the personal computer. We went through watching gaming systems change as quickly as they did. Remember, the Atari came out like just a few years before I was born. So gaming is barely older than me. Video gaming, I should say.
Yeah, it's honestly looking at how powerful, like, kind of segueing off track here, but looking at how powerful PCs have, computers have gotten in the ages, it's honestly quite surprising, right? If I brought my PC back to when the iPod came out theoretically, how much more power first iPhone? Do you think people back then would consider it a supercomputer?
I'd have to look at the specifics. I don't know. We'd have to look at how many...
For baseline, it can run Minecraft with shaders.
Well, I don't know what that means in terms of the numbers. How many gigs of RAM do you have? That was the one that I always knew to, like, measure. You have 2 gigs of RAM.
Wait, no. Not two. 64?
I don't remember.
Eight?
I think it's eight.
I think I have 232. I have to check.
232 sticks?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, 64. That's gigs, right? I remember being excited when I upgraded my computer to... I want to say I upgraded it to have 64 megabytes of RAM. Like, that was big because suddenly I could play StarCraft 2 better.
I thought you were about to say... I thought you were going to say 64 bytes.
No. It wasn't that bad. But, like, that was... where we were with it all of, like, the revolution that's about to happen. Like, now we get to know. We can see it coming. Because there's been experience in going through them. The first airplane flight was, what, 120 years ago?
The Wright brothers.
And look at the planes we have now. We fly hundreds of thousands of people across the planet on a daily basis. I could be wrong with that number. It's a made-up number. But it's a lot of people.
And now compare those speed of those to military jets. Modern military jets, those things are fast. Mm-hmm.
So, we're on the brink of that next revolution in technology, I think. Do I believe... Okay, here's what I think. I think at some point in the future, the human and AI are going to merge. It's called the singularity theory, I believe.
Yeah.
The idea that the... biologically, like, our bodies will take a long time to change, and it's going to take, like, drastic stuff to make it happen. Even look at the measurements, the doubling of the size of the human brain took 2 million years to happen. Technology doubles every, what, 4 years? So why not aim to put ourselves together with it so that we can adapt and change at a more rapid pace? I think biology's reached its I think there's a curve of biology in its evolutionary path.
But sort of.
And then technology comes in as we find the, we get into science and the information age and everything, the technology increases, and it increases faster than the biological increases in our body. So it ultimately overtakes us.
And the intersection point is singularity?
Yep. So at that point, technology has surpassed our biological evolution. And that is, I don't doubt that it's possible. I see it in my lifetime, you know? I think that could happen in my lifetime. It's so wild to me, because when I was your age, I want to say that was the year I got a Nintendo 64.
Did they have 64 gigs of...
Megabytes.
Megabytes of RAM.
I think it was 64 bits. I want to say it was called 64 because it was 64 bits in the graphics. And that was I could be wrong in this, but I believe it was the first 3D system. We had Doom on PC, I think, but we didn't have it on a gaming console.
Yeah, it was actually a 2D.
Maybe we did. Yeah, even Doom was a 2D.
It was a 2D game rendered in
perspective.
In the way that it looks like. So it's 3D, so that's why you could shoot without looking at a guy, but they're below you, so you'd still hit them.
Yep. How many more questions do you have? Any more?
Hey, you start asking me.
I get to ask you?
Yeah.
I like this segment. What fears do you have staring down the barrel of AI prominence? Prominence.
Oof.
Or what hope? Both. What hope and what fear do you have looking at the fact that AI is going to be such a big part of our future?
I feel that a lot of jobs that involve television are going to be overtaken by AI, like a weatherman, but still, you can't, it's the feeling of having a actual person on the news telling the weather. I don't think you can personally beat that. So, until AI gains conscience, it's realistically a lot of those acting but any job on where somebody on television that is going to be really hard,
mm-hmm.
It's going to remain in human hands until AI gains consciousness.
And at this point, you still want to be a meteorologist when you grow up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But with the rise of AI, that might be really hard.
And that's why that's one of the big reasons I promote with you and your sister so much to, get bored and explore creating whatever comes into your mind. Because creativity is still a uniquely human experience. Whereas AI, at the moment, is input-output. It doesn't seem like it, but that's what it is input of the human data we have available to us. And the output of the conglomerate of that data.
Yes. So theoretically, if I was to delete the entire internet except for AI, it couldn't do anything.
Unless it stored all the information.
Dang! you can't store the entire internet. You can't download all of Wikipedia.
Then where do we get it from? It's stored somewhere.
Okay, I destroy all the storage.
And it's not the actual clouds in the sky.
Jeez, I'm not that stupid!
What, I can't make a joke?
Okay, yeah, that one's actually pretty funny.
Okay, so that was your fear. What hopes do you have to see out of it?
Hopes? I honestly hope that people that want to get into programming, AI can teach them to... I honestly hope AI will be able to teach things like complicated subjects like calculus and programming.
Do you think we'll have a need... Ooh. Okay, big fear unlocked for me. Do you think we'll have a need for programmers once AI is up and running on it?
No, but if you want to, learn that... No, but, let's take... Still, once AI reaches conscious and is able to be creative on its own, it's going to make some mistakes.
Fair enough.
That's why you need people that know the syntax and know the language to be able to debug those mistakes that AI does make.
Did you watch the movie Idiocracy with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, the loss of, like, this is, like, when I said fear unlocked, right? Like, what if we lose these knowledge channels, like programming, because we just turn to AI and rely on it, right? Like, boom, AI's got it. Nobody needs to learn how to program anymore. We never need to design another house, whatever it might be. Massive solar burst wipes out AI because it fries the entire electronics network of the Earth. And now nobody knows how to program. Do we still have physical copies of books of the information? Or have we gotten rid of all of those for digital at that point?
You see, that is why we need to prepare for the future and the Library of Congress. Like, let's take Wikipedia. It'd be really difficult to put that all down on paper, especially because it's always being edited. That's
fair.
That's a really bad example.
It's a great example. I mean, because it leads into exactly what I'm trying to say, right?
Oh, but I'll continue. But, like, we could write all of that down in books, too, so if all the electronics get knocked out, we can refer back to those to be able to recreate the web. Piece by piece.
What about this? We utilize AI to perfect the information on Wikipedia, remove the inaccuracies, and then hit print.
Well, we might discover new information that...
No, absolutely. But, like, if there was some kind of recycle on AI where it did that, like, every week, update all of Wikipedia...
Okay, we need to check how many articles on Wikipedia are on Wikipedia.
But like, think about that, because at least then, the most updated information, let's say we update every Sunday, and there's zero electricity on Earth by Wednesday. Any discovery we had in those 3 days might not be in there, but we have the collective human knowledge and experience up to that Sunday prior.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I highly doubt programming languages are going to... They're going to make a discovery of an Easter egg that the developers of JavaScript left in there. What if there is a secret in...
Dude, look for it. Be the guy that finds it if there is.
Just to...
It's like the when the creator of Elden Ring came out and said there was something nobody's found yet in the original game.
Yeah.
2 years after the game came out,
like,
people still hadn't found something.
Geez, that game is so massive.
There's so many things people have figured out in that game. So, okay, fears, hopes. What are you looking forward to using AI for?
Oh, God. I have seen how AI is able to generate music on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's one thing I'm looking forward to. But at the same time, that technology will easily get out of hand, and it's going to be impossible to differentiate fate. AI from human Spotify and streaming services.
Have I told you your uncle is using AI to make music?
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
So, yeah, if that's a path you want to explore, like, definitely let's get you set up and spend some time with him.
One time I asked AI to make a hip-hop song with instruments from classical music.
Nice.
It was a silly idea. It actually came out.
I love it.
Pretty well.
What's the guy we watch on YouTube? Everyone, Seth Drums, when he does the AI for, like, the cowboy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cowboy Rocket Man or whatever that one is.
Cowboy Country Rocket Man, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think those are the questions I have. AI is a really good topic. I like the topic list you came up with. I think it's going to be a lot of fun going through them all.
Yeah, we had Yeah, I did the presidential election first since every day the topic became massively more irrelevant. If I could have hit the day that the results got announced, that would have been a banger.
Well, I think it's still relevant. I mean,
yeah, it's still relevant given people's reactions.
It's relevant within the context of what you approached me for this podcast to be. And this is why I appreciate your list coming up so much. Having hard discussions. Because your list includes some stuff that's like, I would lie to you if I said I didn't have a little fear in me about some of the things I know I may talk about in some of those things, right? Like, at your age, my parents would have never talked to me about some of those things as honestly as I'm hoping to be with you about these things. Because it is a hard conversation, but I also know that the more you know, and I'm using my judgment at what I think you can handle and cope with, which I think is world beyond anything I would have handled at your age. But that's also because you've been through a lot. You've been through a lot more in your life that is challenging than I had been. And that challenge of life is where maturity and growth comes from. So when I say that you're at a place that's beyond where I was at your age, it's because of the things you've experienced in life. I didn't experience those things. So that idea, again, of intersectionality, where we've lived two completely different lives, yes. Now I've got the years I've got with a bunch more experience, but I didn't face the challenges you faced at a young age. So I can speak to my experience. And honestly, some of your topics I'm looking forward to hearing your experience about too. And I think I really like the idea of questions at the end for me. Because I'll tell you, there's some things that if you ask the right questions, there's some things that I'm going to share with you that you're going to probably be blown away by in getting to know me.
And also this podcast just helps you be a better father and being less secretive. Honestly.
Honesty is the key to living a good life.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I said this. I wanted me and you to have honest conversations about some of these topics.
I will tell you, like, it's still new to me having deep, honest conversations with people. You've been around for a chunk of my life. You know that I wasn't always the best person. Honesty is the thing that set me free of it all. The things I look back at, the things that I used to beat myself up for, when I was able to be honest about them with me, is when I started to find a path of being able to like myself again. And so when I say honesty is the key to a happy life, I say that again, right? You went through challenges in life, so you have a different maturity level than I had at your age. I've experienced what life is like when you're a decent, honest person. I don't have to get upset with somebody because they have a different viewpoint. Is it always easy? No, absolutely not. But when I've spoken honestly of who I am, what I think, what I believe, why I believe that, the experience I've had that led me there.
We're kind of weaving off topic.
Damn, cold-hearted. Trying to have an honest moment.
But brutally honest, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm looking forward to them all. Which means like, follow, and subscribe to all of the channels.
Or don't. I don't care.
And listen to more from us. Next episode is... War?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's war.
Or not. I don't know. It's not my job to keep track of this stuff.
Last we had written down, it's war. That's what we'll either do that or something else. Join us. Thanks, guys.
Wait, wait. Oh, are we still recording?
Still recording at home. You have anything else to say?